DS-106.
DS-106
Radio.
Comes a time when you're drifting.
There comes a time when memory fades, the backdrop gets blurred. Are we remembering or recalling our own retelling? Or perhaps the stories are simplifying, clarifying, or crystallizing around an image.
This old world keeps spinning round.
It's a wonder tall trees laying down. There comes a time.
So I wanted to ask you about a story that we've talked about on a number of occasions, but only a little bit. And I never really learned a lot of details, and I think it's because I just have it as a placeholder. It's like a bookmark. And it's the story about, or the anecdote about when you were applying for a job. I think it was an accounting firm. And this is how I remember it, and tell me if I've got it wrong, because sometimes I think I remember things wrong.
Yeah, all the details
I understood. Why don't you tell me that story?
Okay, well, the actual facts are this. I had just come from California with Miriam. She's like 2.5 years old at that time.
Comes a time when you're drifting. Comes a time when you settle down. Comes a life, feelings lift.
Comes a life.
Lift that baby right up off the ground.
Lift that baby right up off the ground.
And so what I remember about that was Samantha worked there when she was in high school.
Right.
And she couldn't have been more than 16, maybe 17 years old. And I would, on occasion, I would go over there on my bicycle. And it was in the evening when she would close up. And she was the only one there. Sometimes it was busy, sometimes not so busy, sometimes it was dead. And it occurred to me, whoever owns this restaurant has put the entire operation in Samantha's hands. Why do you suppose we hear a story or have a story from our memory, from growing up or from family, and we remember it a little bit wrong? Because I remembered it a little bit incorrectly.
What, that story about my dream? I have no idea. We kind of, sometimes when we're not really sure, we put in what we think might be appropriate or what could have been, you know? We kind of put it together. It's like seeing a wall with empty spaces, and so you have to fill them in with what might be logical.
You and I, we were captured. We took her souls and we flew away. We were right, we were giving. That's how we kept what we gave away.
Okay. I remember one occasion where we went to go visit her, and I'm sure that you and Dad, or you and Grandpa, or Uncle High, would go sort of track her down to see how she was doing. But on this one occasion, I think that we were in Tucson. I think we went to a restaurant, and she was waiting tables at the restaurant. And one of the things I remember is what I ordered. I had a hamburger. It was called the Mammoth Burger.
I have some images that stick with me about my relatives, and they're innately limited in details because they're handed down. And I'd be willing to explore those a bit. I'm constantly intrigued about how I will share a memory of my youth with my wife, and then realize that they're built on provisional memory. What comes to mind about these images is that they're placeholders.
It's interesting about these stories, whether it's the Ten Key, or Miriam in Tucson, or Samantha at the restaurant. It's a placeholder memory that never really, for me, never gets interrogated. I didn't really talk about it much. Didn't really ask them about it or you about it much. It's just sort of a story. It's a snippet that I've heard. I remember it. I keep it in my mind as a placeholder. But not really. I've not really gone back to
explore
it.
Right.
Comes a time when memory fades, the backdrop gets blurred. Are we remembering or recalling our own retelling? Or perhaps the stories are simplifying, clarifying, or crystallizing around an image.
This old world keeps spinning round. It's a wonder tall trees ain't laying down.
On my mother's sideboard, there is a photo of a young man in an officer's uniform. He looks straight at the camera, smart, his Glengarry tilted to the regulation angle, eyes clear and innocent. The same picture used to be in my grandmother's sideboard. It's my grandfather, who died before I was born, in the First World War. He went into the First World War as a private, came out as a lieutenant, was gassed twice, and I think it's another unspecified wound. I have two bare stories of his war. In one, he crawls out under fire to aid an injured man. For this, my mum and gran say he should have had the military cross, but an officer was a present. He got the award. There's no more detail. My gran remembered his leave, trying to get the lice out of the seams of his filthy uniform before he went back to the trenches. The abiding memory I have is not so much a story, but of an image. He told my gran that the mud was so deep that the Argyle and Southern Highlanders, his regiment, waded through it up to their waist with their kilts spread out floating. As a wee boy, in my mind's eye, I had this from above, like ballerinas' tutus spread round stationary soldiers. Now the picture is filled with fear, pain, noise, as the men push through the mud, filthy, cold, as in an Otto Dix painting. My mother has told me a few stories about her war as a young girl. I recall her fey neighbour, perhaps unhappy in her marriage, maybe from a travelling family, who would, during the German bombing raids, not head for shelter, but up the hill to watch the blaze, lights, and hear the bombs drop across the Clyde.
Ooh, this old world keeps spinning round. It's a wonder tall trees ain't laying down. There comes a time. There comes a time.
I was taught to talk by my granny, my mum's mother, and later in my 20s, when my father was ill. For a while, I visited my gran regularly to have lentil soup and keep her company. I listened to her stories of chicken, life in a small holding, neighbours and relatives.
Why don't you come up here and sit on Nana's lap and I'll tell you a story about your auntie. She would always fall asleep places. We have many pictures, you know, here's some of the pictures of her. She was always falling asleep when she was little. And there was one day where we were looking everywhere. We could not find her. And there had been, in the news during that time, there had been a lot of press about children being taken and, you know, strangers and abducted. We were really afraid that that had happened. We looked all over the neighborhood. We were calling, trying to find her. Really weren't wondering if we were going to have to call the police. And we came back into the house, again, looking around, and here she was. She had fallen asleep on the potty chair. And here is the picture of her, where she has fallen asleep on the potty chair.
It's late here, but I want to tell a story.
Picture this. It's a couple of days before Christmas, and we hear something out in the living room. Hear, you know, just a little tinkling, and not quite sure what's going on. Our 4.5-year-old is still asleep, wondering about our 3-year-old. Where is she? So we go in, into the living room, and our beautifully decorated tree, all the way up to about a third of the way, has been stripped. And the little three-year-old has taken all of the bulbs off as far as she could reach, and she has organized them, sorted them, such that here are the big Christmas tree bulbs, here are the small Christmas tree bulbs, here are the colored Christmas tree bulbs, the medium-sized Christmas tree bulbs. She's even taken off that little, the little wire that you use to put them on, and the little cap, these little, you know, metal caps that are on the cheap set. And she is just intent, and this had to have taken her a really long time to do. She was intent. And we come in there, and okay, we recognize, we're both scientists, we recognize this is a really good thing that she is learning how to sort, and how, she had done a fantastic job of sorting all of these. And we, oh, Jenny, that's really nice. Wow, look what you did.
This whole world keeps spinning round. It's a wonder tall trees ain't laying down. There comes a time.
What a lovely thing a story can be. How privileged we are to be able to share them across the ocean. What would my grandfather have thought?
I still know that there were many, many, many stories that I never even touched on, but they're still in my head.
Yeah.
And I still think about it from time to time. There's so much that happens in life. So much. Little stories, big stories, things that were no story, and all of a sudden you realize the significance of it, and that there really is a story there. But at the time, you don't know it. And for a long time, you don't know that there's a story until something clicks and you tie it, you tie that event together with something else that makes it a story. That's the beauty of life. You just go from one story to another.
Spinning round, it's a wonder tall trees ain't laying down. There comes a time, there comes a time, there comes a time, there comes a time.
Nana! Good, good. You say listen.
Listen.
Can you say two?
Two.
You say D?
D.
S?
S.
You say one?
One.
O?
O.
Six?
Six.
You say radio?
Radio.
Good.
One. Yes. Two. D. S. One. O. Six. Radio.
Oh, very good.